Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is a pretty strong word. Evidence can put somebody in jail. Can it? Evidence can determine who wins in a court of law. Evidence is primary to justice. Evidence. Got to have evidence. You make a claim, you better have evidence, or your claim will be dismissed. Right? Evidence is a very strong word. I want to talk about faith this morning, and I hope you're ready to talk. So, Father, thank you for this time. We pray. Bless our morning here in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Sebastian is hiding behind the pole here. Can't see him. I don't like it when there's somebody there and I know he's there. And do you have to be behind the pole? Don't you want to? I moved the pulpit, but my back's been bothering me. I drag it this way so I could see you. But then I wouldn't be able to see Glenn. I want the poles eliminated. That doesn't matter if they're load bearing. structural. In the new chapel, there won't be poles. In the new chapel, there won't be poles.
Oh.
I misspoke. Too late. What is not faith? What faith is not is wishful thinking. Faith is a settled conviction based on a fact or a series of proven facts. It's a conviction based on a fact or a series of proven facts. It's also not sight, because once I see something or something's already proven, it's not faith anymore. But having a settled conviction on a fact, what I consider a fact. There's a couple examples of this. And I'm not going to speak very long today, probably maybe 2-3 hours. But Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Look what it says here. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed God, who gives life to the dead. Look at this. Life to the dead. And calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This is really cool. This is some exciting stuff. God calls things that don't exist as though they do. Here is barren, elderly Abraham, and God says to him, you will be the father. No, you are the father. I have made you a father of many nations. What? No, Abraham's answer was, okay, I'm in. I believe. Abraham believed God, who calls things that are not as though they are. And it says in verse 18, who, contrary to wishful thinking, that's what the word hope alludes to there, in this hope, in the presence of this hope, believed. And it says, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19 is what I want to talk about a little bit. And not being weak in faith, did not consider his own body already dead. Look at this. He did not consider his own body. Boy, I wish we'd do that more. I wish this was applied. I wish we applied this all the time. Faith requires a disregard. Abraham disregarded his age, disregarded his body, disregarded his infertility, disregarded all that stuff, and said, I believe what God has said is a fact. Hello? How many understand this morning? Faith requires me to disregard certain things. Faith requires God. Faith requires that you disregard your own inability and believe God will do what he started and believe that God will do what he said he'll do. 2 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who called you. He will also do it. Faith requires me to disregard certain things, to disregard my own inability, to disregard my weaknesses. Has God called you? Has God asked you to do something? Has God moved on your life? When are you going to disregard your own weaknesses? I can't do it. I'm weak. I don't know. I'm not skilled. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. I'm blah, 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 blah. It's time, Abraham, for you to disregard what you physically see with your eyes, for you to disregard what is glaringly obvious to you. You got to disregard it. Why? Because God calls those things that are not as though they are. How about you disregard your past, which you think disqualifies you? Every time I come up with this, I think of my friend who literally believed that his failures and sins had disqualified him from serving God when the farthest thing from the truth, it was the farthest thing from the truth. The cross had eliminated his sin. The cross had dealt the fatal blow to all that God did not like about him and all God did not like about you. Faith requires a disregard. Abraham disregarded his own body. When God spoke to him, he was faced with a choice. And make no mistake about it, my friends, it was a choice. Abraham had to choose whether he was going to believe what God said or whether he was going to look at his own situation, his own circumstances, him, his wife, his surroundings, what science would tell you. Abraham, listen. I know God has told you you're going to be the father of many nations, but you need to follow the science. No, not in this case. In this case, let's follow God. And following God means believing what he says. Following God means I take what he says to be a settled fact because there's evidence that he's never lied. There's evidence that God is true. There's evidence that his word is right. There's evidence that the Bible is the inspired word and that every single syllable, every word of God is true. And that man doesn't live by bread alone. Man doesn't live by circumstances alone. Man doesn't live by what he eats and what he sees and what he feels and what he becomes and what he thinks. Man lives by what God says in Matthew chapter 4:4. Man lives by every word of God and not by bread. This is why the Bible says we're to walk by faith and not by what? Sight. This takes a putting on of what I think and believe God is saying, and a putting off of what is not truth. It may be true, but it's not truth. It was true Abraham couldn't be a father, but was that the truth? Hello? Huh?
No.
It was true that Paul was a murderer, but was that the truth about who Paul would be? No. It's true Peter denied Jesus, but was it the truth about who Peter become? See, it may be true what you think about yourself, but it's not the truth. Hello? You guys over here getting it over here? Is this working over here? The thumbs up from the boys. You know, I was watching that movie Noah. How many saw that Russell Crowe movie, Noah? It's terrible. He tells the story of creation, and it's just terrible. It's evolutionary big time. But here's the thing. I just want to say something, and I want you to be very clear about this. God doesn't need material to create anything. God created this out of nothing. He didn't start with anything. He started with nothing. Hello? He didn't use anything. Nothing. And that's the testimony of creation. God started with nothing. And people think that this all, billions of years. I want to just say something here that I think is important. If you believe in God and you're willing to say that, well, he used all this, why is it so hard of a stretch for you to think God could have created everything mature? When God created the trees, did he just create seeds? Was the pine cone, was it a pine cone or a pine tree when God created it? Follow the science, not me. Right? Hello? God created man. He didn't create a baby, wait for Adam to grow up. He created a full man, a full-grown man. So the earth was created with oil reserves. The earth was created with coal in it. The earth was created with all kinds of rock layers. The earth was created with all that stuff. Frankly, I think some of it was created to throw off man in the future a little bit. Yeah. And how do you have thousands of years between light and plants? And then thousands of more years between plants and animals, or animals. You can't have that much time. They would die. Plant-eating animals can't wait 1,000 years. So were they actual days? Yes, they were days. Were they 24-hour periods? Duh. I don't mean to be rude, but let me just say, they'd have to be. What did God start with? Nothing. How many understand this morning? I'm making a point here about your life. God doesn't need to start with anything for you to have a call in your life. We don't provide God any materials at all. He doesn't need any materials from you and I. You understand what I'm getting at? How many follow what I'm getting at? He doesn't need materials. I remember when I first thought God would maybe call me to preach. Oh, no. I can't preach. I hate speaking in front of people. I still do, by the way. Hate speaking in front of people. Makes me crazy. And it probably makes the hearer crazy, too. I know what you're thinking. Bonnie, I'm surprised. You of all people would think something like that. But God doesn't need any materials. How many understand what I mean by that? God doesn't need He doesn't need material. He can start with nothing. But Lord, I can't do it. I'm nothing. Good. You're just what I'm looking for. Out of the way. Right? You're out of the way when you're nothing. You don't take any credit when you're nothing. It's a good thing for you to be nothing. It's like one woman said to me many years ago, she said, I don't have any more love for my husband. I said, good. I was in a counseling session with her. She said, what kind of counseling is this? I said, biblical. That's the same couple, by the way. I remember I told you the other story. The guy came in and said, I hate myself. I'm such an idiot. I said, you're a liar too. He looked up and said, what do you mean? I said, if you really hated yourself, you'd be glad you were an idiot. Same couple. The wife comes in. I have no more love for my husband. I said, good. You got to understand, this was the kind of couple that needed that sort of counseling. They were thick. Like some of you. Very, just don't. It just doesn't get through any other way. So I said, aren't you don't have any more love for your husband? No. Good, good, good. Now you can get out of the way and let God love your husband through you. Now you have to trust him to love your husband. Now you can go to the cross and love your husband. God doesn't need any materials to create anything. He can start with, say it, nothing. Genesis chapter 4, which the book of Genesis, by the way, reflected in Hebrews 11 is a really interesting progression of faith. The believer's faith progresses through Hebrews 11 in a very interesting way. But in Genesis 4, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain, a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit, the fruit of the ground, to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. The word, don't get thrown by the word respect there. It just means that Abel's offering was received. Cain's was not. Cain's was not accepted. So think about this. You got two guys standing at the gates of the Garden of Eden. You have a believer and an unbeliever. You have a religious man and a man of faith. The religious man brings culture, taste, beauty, the fruit of his own toil, an array of blossoms, spring blooming blossoms and flowers and all kinds of fruit. And he brings an elaborate, wonderful spread of everything he tilled from the ground. Abel, the other, brings this bleeding, dying lamb, puts him on this crude mound of clay for him to die. You want to know what the issue was, the real issue here? God had cursed the ground. Do you remember? Cursed is the ground for your sin. Remember when he said that to the devil? To the serpent? Cursed is the ground. Told Adam, cursed is the ground, and thorns and thistles and sweat is in your future. God had cursed the ground, and everything that Cain brought came from the ground. Out of that curse. A direct denial of God's spoken words. When he said it's cursed, Cain brought it anyway. There are a lot of things that are cursed that look beautiful, cultural, acceptable. They taste good, smell good, and feel good, yet they're cursed. It doesn't mean that everything that tastes good, smells good, is wrong for the believer. But the source of everything that Abel brought before God came from something God had cursed. The first act of real faith is seen in this story. And it's the question. It's in the form of a question. Do you believe what God says about sin? And do you see his only remedy? Abel answered the question, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Cain said, nah, the ground's really not cursed anymore. How can something so beautiful be bad? How can something that seems so right be so wrong? Or like the song said, how can something that feels so good be bad? It's because that's not how we gauge what's truth. The devil has two lies that he likes to speak to people who are not believers, frankly. One of them is, I'm not really sinning. I haven't really sinned. I don't have sin. There's nothing wrong with this. It may look right to you. The society may be telling you it's okay. The world may approve of it. Your family may approve of it. I want to ask you a question, though. What does God say about it? Hello? Look right up here. What does God say? That's the only thing you need to concern yourself. Forget about what Graziano says. What does God say? You better know the answer to that question in this life. Because another life is coming, another eternity is coming for you and I. Please get this answer right now, my friends. The one remedy for your sin is not to be better and try harder and grow things from this cursed ground and try to create a life that's better out of something that God has called dead in trespasses and sins in Ephesians 2, verse 1. But for you to lift up your eyes and to see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There's only one remedy. Abel got it right. A bloody offering on a crude mound of clay. The result of Abel's understanding is an Enoch experience. And if you go back to Hebrews 11, you'll see this little progression. I think it's fascinating. I've just been seeing these little patterns in the Bible lately that are sort of cool. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, verse 11, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He started with nothing. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Hello? You see that? The things we see were not made out of anything that was seen. God took the immaterial and made it material, the invisible and made it visible. And then the first person is mentioned is who? Who's the first person mentioned in Hebrews 11? Say it louder. Louder. Abel. And Abel understood the remedy of the curse. Abel's our first person. Who's the next person mentioned? Enoch. But I want you to read verse 4. This is fascinating. For by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though it were being dead, still speaks. Now, in Genesis 4, verses 3 to 5, God says to Cain, your brother's blood speaks out of the ground. Verse 10. What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. The blood cried out back then. The blood of Christ still cries out today. The remedy was blood. And Abel knew that. And then it goes on and it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Look it. Friends, when you get the first answer right, you don't see death. Hello? When you answer these questions, what does God think about sin? And what's the remedy? You have an Enoch experience. You don't see death. See the progression? When you have an Abel faith, you get an Enoch experience. He didn't see death. And was not found because God had taken him. For he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And I just love this. He pleased God and he walked with God. I understand, Lord, the remedy for my sin was the blood of Christ. That pleases God, that you get his remedy. Jesus came to earth, we're celebrating it. He came bodily, Colossians 2:10, bodily. And it wasn't evil. Why? Virgin birth. He escaped the curse of mankind by being born directly of God. What about Mary? She was a human. Blood didn't mingle. Blood of a mom, blood of a baby don't mingle. You can have two different blood types. They don't mingle. We see Christ created, Christ, not created, Christ born, incarnate on the earth, our remedy. And we ask this question, what do you believe about sin? What does God say about your life? What's the remedy? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. When I get that straight, as Abel did, then I walk with God and I please God, like Enoch did, and I don't see death. Enoch didn't see death because he walked with God. Enoch didn't see death because he believed. The result of the Abel conclusion is the Enoch experience, the sanctifying faith. And I think it's interesting that after we read about Abel and his answer to the dilemma of sinful man and the curse, And then we see Enoch, who's the walk and the pleasing God that comes from that faith. Then you read verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That first type of faith is believing faith. And then we have the sanctifying faith where we follow and walk with God. Without faith, which is based on what did God say? He said the ground was cursed, Abel. Didn't you hear him? Cain? Sorry. Imagine that. God says to Cain, I told you the ground was cursed. I told your father that. He passed on. As a matter of fact, then I showed your father by sacrificing an animal so he could have skins. Get rid of those fig leaves. Why couldn't he dress himself with fig leaves? Because the ground was cursed. Had to dress himself with skins. And blood is shed when skins are made, of course. So Abraham knew, Abel knew. Cain ignored it. Look at all these beautiful flowers. God's got all of these. Look at all this fruit. God's got all of these. I'm going to bring God a salad. Nope. Okay, Larry, let's not commingle grace and works. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? Enoch did. He pleased God. See what it says in verse 5? He was taken, he had this testimony that Enoch had pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Enoch's faith pleased God. That's what's being said in verse 6. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? Maybe next Sunday we'll talk about Noah's faith. But tonight, today, is a great day to be thinking about this. God can create out of nothing. You might be looking at your life and thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't worry about it. God does with nothing what you can't dream of doing with everything you have. God, we thank you for this day. We pray you bless and help. Heal the sick today, God, those that are in pain. We want to pray again. If you would like to pray for a physical healing today, just stand on your feet. We want to pray for you. Is there anybody? Anybody wants to be touched, needs a physical touch? Anybody? Stand right up on your feet. Don't be embarrassed. There you go. Who else? I'm on my feet because I need a prayer. Harry, stand up. You need a prayer. Larry? Anybody else? Stand right up on your own. I need a touch physically. I got an ache or a pain or a cold or some condition that I need healing. God, we pray that you would see these dear people standing. Each one rise by faith before you, knowing that you can do anything with nothing. And as Mary said, it may be impossible with men, it's never impossible with you. So we pray, we look to you, Lord, for a healing touch. We look to you, God, who still involve yourself in these details of our lives. They are not too small for you. We pray for Karen today, who is sick, Menzo, who is sick again, and others that are gone, Kathy Kirkey and the Ganyu. Who? Oh, Mrs. Bennett is also sick. She's sick again? Mrs. Warner also sick. Debbie Mario sick. Heal the body, Lord. Heal the physical body of these people. Bless and quicken and minister with your power and grace. And we just pray, Lord, that you would heal and restore to health everyone who's standing, and those that we prayed for here. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.